Our final message in the book of Philippians, and it's certainly been a privilege and a blessing to preach through Philippians one chapter at a time. And let's go ahead and read. Once I get there, here we go. Let's read verses 1 through 7. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, if I said that right, I tried, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's say a word of prayer, and then we'll be seated. Lord, I thank you so much again for this opportunity to preach tonight. And it's truly a blessing and an honor. And I try not to take it for granted. I ask that you would just speak through me tonight. Just be the voice that comes through my lips, and just use your word and convict our hearts tonight. Draw us closer to you. You know where each of us are individually, and you can speak to us in different ways. So we ask that you just help us to have open hearts and minds and be ready for what you have for us tonight. And thank you just for the blessing of the lights being back on and the power. And we trust you just in all things and everything you allow us to go through. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just by way of quick review, just wanted to kind of recapture the thoughts from the first couple of messages from Philippians chapter 1. The central thought of the message was, to me to live is Christ. That was taken from chapter 1, verse 21. The theme of chapter 2 was, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Philippians 3 was, that I may know him. So the central thought of Philippians chapter 4, and if you wanted to put a title on the message, you could title it, Complete Trust in Christ. Amen. While throughout this chapter, the Apostle Paul doesn't necessarily mention trust and trusting in the Lord, but what I found throughout as I read and studied this chapter out was that there are several different lessons to be learned from the chapter, but each one has a common denominator, if you will. They have a central theme, and that theme is trust. But before we get into that, I also wanted to do a little bit of a quick overview of the book of just a few things that I happen to notice are mentioned or highlighted in each chapter. Paul places importance on these things and many other things throughout the book, but just four specific things that I found interesting that stood out to me, and there's probably more, but four things that Paul highlighted and noted really in each chapter and had his focus on. And the first and foremost number one thing that he focused on was, or I should say is, Jesus Christ. And we saw this, and I'll read a few verses from each chapter as I mention each four of these things. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And in chapter 2, verse 5, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And in chapter 3, verse number 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And in chapter 4, verses 13, that we didn't get to last week, but it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Second thing I noticed mentioned in all four chapters is joy or rejoicing. And in chapter 1, we see it in verses 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. In chapter number 2, we see it in verses 16 through 18. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. And in chapter number 3, we see it in verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. In chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Keep in mind that this is one of Paul's prison epistles, and he talks so much about joy and rejoicing in the Lord, who is with him in every moment. And the third thing that I found interesting that I noticed in each of the four chapters of Philippians is Paul encourages the believers to be of one mind, of one accord. We see it first in chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Chapter 2, we see it in verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And in chapter 3, we see it in verses 15 and 16. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And in chapter 4, we see it in verses 1 and 2. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. If you can recall Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Just thought, and if I had time, I could probably develop a whole message just on each one of those themes. But I just thought it interesting that those things were important enough to Paul, and obviously led through the Holy Spirit, important enough to God, to repeat to us several times throughout the book. Oh, and the last thing, can't move forward without mentioning this one. Not only did, as we saw number one, he mentions Jesus Christ, he puts an importance on Jesus Christ throughout the entire book, but he puts a mention on future meeting with Christ in each chapter. We see it first in chapter 1 in verses 6 through 10, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, again, till the day of Christ. And then we see it in chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And in chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And lastly, in chapter number 4, verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is coming. One day we will meet him. And a truth that we know, obviously, as Christians, but many times we need to be reminded of certain truths that we know. And, God needs to bring them back to the forefront of our minds and our hearts. And I was encouraged as I noticed that today as I was studying through this. And there were some other things that were mentioned multiple times in a few chapters, but maybe not a fourth chapter or things like that. Like I said, there's many things he repeats. But those four specific things I noticed that were in every single chapter that he had a focus on. Jesus Christ, having joy in the Lord, being of one mind in the Spirit, and future meeting with Jesus Christ. So now as we look into the message of tonight, as I mentioned, the central theme of Philippians chapter 4 is complete trust in Christ. And as I said, there were several, I guess, lessons that really, again, you could probably preach an entire message or more on each one of these individual lessons, but I'm going to touch on them briefly, and we'll see that the one thing that makes all of these lessons, all of these things possible, is trust in the Lord. And so the first one we're going to look at is in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And this is the first thing. Number one, or however you want to number it, letter I, 1A, whatever. Trust gives you cause to rejoice. Trust gives you cause to rejoice. It is the only way to rejoice in the Lord is to trust him. Because simply put, logically, if I don't trust the Lord, what is there to rejoice in?
Right?
Right? What is there to rejoice in if I don't trust the Lord? And if you could hold your place in Philippians 4, and I'll actually hold my place there this week. Turn back with me, if you will, to Psalm 37. We'll read a few verses here now from the beginning of the chapter, and then later on when we close, we'll come back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And I don't know if it was all four nights, but I think at least three of these messages, I happened to find correlating psalms that worked with the messages in Philippians, and that's been a blessing. So Psalm 37, I'm just going to read a few first seven verses. Fret not thyself. Sorry, I'll give you another minute. I hear a bunch of people still turning, so I'll give you another second. Psalm 37 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust, there it is again, also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the new day. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. See, really, and this, I didn't write this down as a point, but really, I could have written down as well, trust makes rest possible. You cannot have rest without trust. You cannot, and Once you learn to trust and God gives you rest, God gives your spirit and your mind rest because you've let go whatever it is that's burdening you. You've given it, you've trusted it to the Lord. God gives your spirit rest, and that right there is cause to rejoice. It makes me think of I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's flip back to Philippians chapter 4. If you hopefully held your place, Philippians 4, and we'll look at the second point is trust brings peace. First, trust gives you cause to rejoice. Second, trust brings peace. And we see this point in verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. That's the key right there. In everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you remember, the disciples, one of the nights they were got into a boat on, I believe, the Sea of Galilee. And a storm came up. And Jesus, where was he? He was in the bottom of the boat sleeping. What an example right there, right? He's at rest in the midst of a storm. And the disciples are all worried and frantic. And they wake Jesus up and they say, "Don't you care that we perish?" And Jesus says, "Why are you fearful? Where's your faith?" And what Jesus is saying is, do you not understand that I'm with you in the storm? God wants us to pray. Yes, there's nothing wrong with praying that God would remove something, remove a storm or a trial or a situation, whatever it may be, something that's difficult. There's nothing wrong with praying that God would remove it. But we also have to say, remember, if you remember from chapter 1, your will, Lord. And understand, God is with me in the storm. Doesn't matter how high the waves are. Doesn't matter how fast the wind blows. Doesn't matter if the internet goes down or the cell phones go down or whatever it may be. We're going to be just fine.
Amen.
If the power goes out, we're going to be just fine. Get a little warm, but we're all fine. Trust the Lord in all things, as verse 6 said, in everything. We tend to go to God for very big things, right? We've been praying earnestly and fervently for Preacher and his cancer and another members who have serious requests. But how often, I speaking for myself, how often do we forget to go to God for the little things? The little things. Just in everything, trusting it to the Lord. And that's when we... Well, we're still on peace, but when we trust it to the Lord, it's then that God gives the peace. And it's why it's in that order. In verse number 6 says, by prayer and supplication, let your request be known, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Give it to God. Trust it to God when it doesn't make sense. Then in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. When it doesn't make sense to have peace, you can have peace.
Amen.
Out here may not be at peace, but in here and in here can be at peace. Trust brings peace. And the third one is verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Trust brings separation. It leads to a pure mind and a pure heart. It leads to right thinking. Because when we trust God, we understand that He is who He is. We believe in the Bible and what it says about God. You know, you could go to countless scriptures just on who God is throughout every book of the Bible. If you go to the Psalms, you see so many things. David says, my God, my rock, my strength, my buckler, my high tower. So many things, and throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, God gives names of Himself, that Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, Almighty God, different names that have different meanings. So many things. And when you think about that, when you dwell on who God is, remember we talked a little bit last week about the right view of God, the right perspective. When we have the right view of God, it gives us the right view of ourselves and the situations that we're in. And we'll have the right mindset about that. And our minds will develop into dwelling, as we dwell on God, it'll give us godly thoughts and godly mindset, godly heart. And again, you could preach an entire message on each one of these, but trust brings separation. The fourth one is in verse number 9. These things which ye have heard, I'm reading too fast. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Trust, this is number 4, trust gives us a testimony. Amen. Trust gives us a testimony.
Yes, sir.
See, Paul had trusted God, and he experienced God's peace. And he says to the Philippian believers, he says, what you've learned of me, what you've seen in me, now you do it. You trust God, and you'll experience God's peace. And we use these testimonies to draw others to trust Christ. This is just, again, giving our testimony. Just, this is what God has done in my life. I'm going to give it to you and let you learn from it. Let you trust in Christ. And just an example, I know I've mentioned before, I've mentioned on a few occasions about my salvation testimony, and probably this isn't the first time you've heard it and probably not the last time you'll hear it, because it's important to me. And it should be. Our salvation testimony should be important. And I've mentioned that part of what brought me under conviction was a friend of mine who got saved just before I did, the day before, and I saw the change in her. And I knew what was different in her, and I knew I needed that. And I got saved that Tuesday afternoon. Well, a few days before that, of course, I was in the homiletics class. If you don't know what homiletics, it's basically how to preach and how to prepare sermons. And a few days before that, I forget which day, Pastor Townsley had announced, he said, I need a few of the guys from the homiletics class to volunteer to preach a 15-minute sermon in chapel on Wednesday. And I wasn't sure which exact day he was talking about, so I went to him. And I said, was that this Wednesday you're talking about? He said, you're number 3. Said, okay. So So I'm scheduled to preach Wednesday of that week. And over the weekend, I get convicted and I get saved on Tuesday. So I go ahead and preach, right? And I'm on the schedule. And I just let God give me a message, a simple, short 15-minute message from 1 Corinthians 3. And after I preached, we went to lunch. And one of the other college students, his name is Josiah, he came to me during lunch and he just asked me a couple of questions like, how did you come? Oh, I forgot to mention, I'm sorry. When I preached, I just preached on how I viewed my life. Again, from 1 Corinthians 3 that talks about before the beam to seat judgment and, you know, our works will be tried by fire, whether they be gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And what I had viewed my life, I thought I was living a pretty good life before I got saved and convincing myself that I was saved over and over. And obviously I realized I wasn't, and I got saved, and I got to share that testimony with the whole school right there. I just got saved yesterday. And all glory to God, the Lord used that. And at lunch, this fellow Josiah came to me, and he asked me a couple of questions about how I came to the conviction of needing to be saved, and I talked to him for a minute, and he said, I just got to tell you, he said, I just got saved. And I still get emotional talking about it, because it's just still so real to me. And I know there's days I don't always focus on it every day, and I understand we have things that, you know, in life we are busy, but let me just be an encouragement to all of you. Don't ever lose focus and just on what God has done for you just through saving you alone. Let that be in you every day and just strengthen you when you need strengthening, encouragement, when you need encouragement to go on. And trust gives us a testimony. Just trusting in Christ, saying, I believe him, and I accept him. And that leads others to trust him as well. The fifth thing, verse number 10 through 12. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Trust, this is number 6, trust brings contentment. Trust brings contentment. Paul says, in all things, I'm instructed to both be hungry for more of God and more of his hand on my life, more of his blessing, but to be content when God is all I have. Remember last week we talked about, or this might have been in chapter 2. I forget which chapter this was in, but I referenced Ezekiel, the prophet, when he had the vision and the angel of the Lord took him into the river and said, come on further, and the water got higher and higher until he got to that point where there was waters to swim in, waters that he could not cross over. And Paul echoes the same sentiment. Don't let me be satisfied with the blessings of today. I want and I need more for tomorrow. However God chooses to manifest himself in your life, sometimes it is with physical blessings. Sometimes God does give you earthly things, so to speak, but just to be a blessing to you, just to shine his favor on you. And that's okay if it's a gift from the Lord. But it may be spiritually. It may just be encouragement from each other as believers. It may just, however the Lord leads, however he so chooses to manifest himself in your life, Don't ever stop wanting more of God, more of His blessings, more of His leading. But be of the understanding, be satisfied, be content with what He does give you, even if it may not necessarily be what somebody else has or how much somebody else has. And if we were to read more of Psalm 37, we see how Psalm 37 and no, maybe I'm thinking of 73. I believe it's Psalm 73. Asaph, he was envy at the riches of the world and those around him and the prosperity of the wicked. But it says, until I came into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. And I was humbled. I was ashamed and brought low. And we have to just be satisfied with what God does give us, because He knows that's what we need. And maybe there's more that God wants to give us, but the Bible also says you have not because you ask not. But we have to ask for the right things, is my point. And I know you all understand that, so I'll try not to over-explain it. Trust gives us contentment. And the next thing in verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Trust brings confidence. Following God's will. In life circumstances, whatever it may be, going back to in everything, right? In big things and little things, have confidence in God. Whether that be a huge major life decision, where is He going to have me serve? God bringing me all the way out here from Connecticut. Just saying, that was a step of faith, because I wasn't expecting that. And there was doubts I had, confusion I had. But every step of the way, every day, God just said, trust me. Trust me. This is where I want you. And I know that. I have perfect peace about that. This is for now. This is where God has me until He moves me elsewhere. In life circumstances, whatever this life may throw at you, COVID, it was a big one. And I know we're kind of past a little bit, or everyone's doing well, and I'd say the pandemic is over, if you didn't know. But in the beginning, obviously, we all had questions, concerns, right? Just speaking for myself, God said, just trust me. Just trust me. And we were told many things. You know, it's this contagious, it's not this contagious. We were told many things by many people. You could have the virus and not know it and spread it to other people. And well, God just said, I can keep you from getting the virus if I so choose. I can heal you after you've gotten the virus if I so choose. God said, I can also keep you from giving it to other people without knowing it. Just trust Him.
Amen.
Trust Him. And who knows how crazy this world is getting? Who knows what else is coming this year or next year?
Right.
You know, if COVID, the pandemic, was a test from the world on how they can control us. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But let's turn it around and let's use COVID as a test. Maybe God is using it as a test for us, how much we would trust Him.
Right.
So let's look back at it and say, well, God got us through that. He can get us through the next thing.
Amen.
Trust brings confidence. And the next two, these are kind of two tied into one. We'll read verses 14 through 19. Notwithstanding, ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Excuse me. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So first we see from these verses, trust leads to giving. Trust leads us to give to the Lord. Because we trust him. We've seen how he can work in various situations, and we know God wants us to what can I give to the Lord? What can I do for him because of what he's done for me? And through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, God gives us specific situations. First and foremost, obviously, we believe that the Bible is specific on tithes and offerings, giving of our money to the Lord. But remember, Jesus also said in Revelation, I'm probably going to misquote it, but you've done it unto me when you've done it unto others. And sometimes God leads in specific situations and convicts us in certain ways and says, that person has a need, and I want you to be there for them, and I'll take care of you later. He says, verse 19, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. As I've heard many preachers say, and you've probably heard them say as well, you can't outgive God. And this verse, God supplying all of your need, we can apply that to any situation, but it's in the context of us giving to the Lord. God will take care of us. God will bless us. So it's important that we just trust his conviction. And let me just say, there's been several people here who've been a blessing to me and Lynette since we got married last year, just different needs that we had, and other people were willing to just take care of those for us, and we're very thankful for that. And God will bless you for that, and we hope that we can be the same blessing in return. And trust leads us to giving, and tied in with this is trust brings fulfillment. God says, I will supply all your need. Just trust me. And let's turn, as we close, if you kept your place in Psalm 37, I'm going to read the last two verses of Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verses 39 and verse 40, it says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Yep. Because they trust in him.
Amen. Yep.
Because they trust in him. And as always, this the topic of trust, as in the same with every other topic, it's inexhaustive. You could find so much throughout Scripture just trusting the Lord and the blessings that he brings. Every biblical example, just trusting the Lord. First one that just came to my mind, the three Hebrews who were cast into the fiery furnace. He said, it doesn't matter. We trust that God will deliver us from your hand. But if not, we're still not going to bow because we bow before God alone. But they said, he will deliver us. Kind of like Paul, whether I live or die, it's for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. We're not going to bow because we trust God. And they were willing to die. They were thrown into the flames, and Jesus met them there. in the flame. Hope that was an encouragement to you. We probably could spend several more weeks on the book of Philippians with everything that's there. And so let me encourage you, read it on your own if you haven't already, outside of church. And it was, again, I've said this, it was a blessing to me to read through each chapter in depth and just really study it out and see the themes of the book and the things that were on Paul's mind and heart that he wanted to share with the Philippians and God saw fit to put in the Bible for us today. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to preach again from Philippians and just everything that you teach us through this chapter, just about trusting you in the big things and the little things, whatever the situation may be. Lord, you know our hearts, and maybe there's individuals here tonight who just have specific things that they're struggling with, things they need to just trust to you. They just need to lay it down before you and ask for your help and guidance and then receive that rest and peace and knowing that you're in control no matter what happens. I ask that you would just speak to us now, Lord. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.